2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, and I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, for such a one was caught up into the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words. Words which are not lawful for a man to utter. And of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, or lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for in my strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us this morning. It is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path, Lord. It really does show us the way in which we need to go. It gives us understanding of some of the things that happen in life that we do not understand on our own, and yet your Spirit will help us to have discernment. And this area of humility is one, Lord, which is convicting to each of us. And yet, Lord, we so need to hear these words. And so we open up our hearts to hear what you would speak to each of us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of this message, Hard Earned Humility. You know, there was a well-known newspaper columnist. He was asked to write about humility, and so he decided that he would approach, of all people, some very well-known celebrities and ask them what they think humility means. And so he, first of all, he approached, you know, back then it was Arnold Schwarzenegger was the California governor. And so, Arnold, what does humility mean to you? And Arnold, you know, he says, well, it reminds me of that weather man, you know, on the TV, and always predicting low humility. And in California, you know, he's always right. We have almost no humility there, you know. And so I'll stop right there. He said more, but that's enough. Now, what about you, Martha Stewart? What do you think? You know, certainly you know a thing or two about humility. And, well, you know, Martha says, I think humility is a great virtue, especially in America, because let's face it, we're the leaders of the world. Everyone looks to us for inspiration and guidance and decorating tips. Speaking of which, Martha Stewart Living will soon be the most widely distributed magazine in the world. When I think of that, it really humbles me. And so then, of course, there was Oprah Winfrey, and according to this columnist, she took it the most serious. So, you know, when asked about what she thought about humility, she actually devoted a 3-page article in Oprah Magazine titled How I Discovered Humility. And I thought, well, you know, that is, you know, that's just it's just a story. But we do have to learn humility. And it's not like this. It's something else. And it's interesting to me that God is so concerned with our humility. And Ironically, it's the one thing that we all struggle with probably the most is this issue of pride. I mean, if I were to say, how many of you are just naturally humble? You know, if I say, well, I'm a naturally humble person, and if you say, well, I'm a naturally humble person, I think we both have a problem. It's lack of humility. Because none of us are naturally humble. Now, I'm going to give an illustration of this, and you can tell me, you can give me an honest answer on this. But let's just say, as a church, it's not a big church, so let's just say that we could all get in a group photo. So somebody takes Chuck Sylvester, Pastor Chuck, he takes the photo. And so then, you know, we all get to look at the photo up on the screen here. I have a question for you. This is the humility test. Who are you going to look for first in that photo? All right, let's just admit it. This is the reason they invented the selfie. I mean, the selfie is because we like to look at our selfies. And so when we take these group pictures, you know, if the person next to you, if they have their eyes closed, well, that's okay. Maybe they're just praying. But if you have your eyes closed, oh man, delete that, take it over, you know, do it. And that's just how we are. And it's part of our nature. When we think about, are we a humble person? There are some very simple tests, and that's one of them. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church, and I like something about this, and that's that Paul essentially was admitting that he struggled with humility. God already knew it. And he said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. Paul is saying, I'm writing and I'm telling the church that because of the revelations, the greatness of the ministry that God had given to him, God had to allow him something into his life to keep him from getting what you and I, we would call the big head. And so have you ever had one of those experiences where it seems like God just had to kind of bring you down to size? I've had a few. I will not relate them because God knows what he's doing and he will do that. But George Washington Carver, the scientist who developed hundreds of useful products from the peanut, he said, you know, when I was young, I said to God, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is reserved for me alone. So I said, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. And then God said, well, George, that's more nearly your size. And he told me. And so that was George Washington Carver's, how he got into peanuts. Well, in this passage, we discover that God does know how to deal with our pride. The Lord knows how to deal with our pride. There are three things that we're going to look at this morning. First of all, let's look at the problem of not having humility. Now, someone might ask, well, what's wrong with having some pride? You know, what's wrong with having, you know, self-confidence? What is the problem with having the attitude that I can do anything that I set my mind to? Well, the problem with pride, as far as God is concerned, is that it is destructive. Pride is destructive. First of all, pride is destructive personally. A man can be brought down, or a woman, a person, by his own pride. Proverbs 16:18. What does that say? Pride goes before what? Destruction. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so pride is personally destructive. But secondly, pride, and I think this is maybe the worst end of it, is pride is destructive to the plan of God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said, you know, God long ago has prepared works for us and that we are to accomplish. In other words, we are to walk in those works that God has prepared for us to do. God has prepared each of you a plan. God wants you to be in that plan. God wants you to be in that plan, and he wants you to be in that plan in his power. Now, if you attempt to accomplish the plan of God in your own power, it will be destructive, or it will diminish the plan of God. And here is our problem. Well, we're willing to try. We're willing to try, and pride is what gives us the self-confidence to do things for God in our own power when He intends to accomplish in His own power. And you might ask the question, well, why can't I do it? Why can't I do it myself? I've got a degree in divinity. I am seminary trained. I have, you might even say, a lot of money, or I'm talented, or I'm gifted. And there are a lot of things that people come up with that they believe somehow qualifies them for what God wants them to do. God is not looking for the most personally qualified people to accomplish His plan. He's looking for surrendered hearts. And it's that pride that can keep us away from surrendering ourselves to the will and to the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And a person may be all of those things. But if we are going to trust in self to accomplish the plan of God, we will fail. Satan is opposed to every plan of God. Now, we already know that he hates God, and he will always attempt to destroy the plan of God. So if we step out to fulfill the plan of God, we will come under the assault of satanic attack. How many of you have been used by God, and prior to being used, you have come under some form of assault that later you realize was coming from the enemy? How about just coming to church sometimes? Have you ever noticed that just getting to church, there seem to be obstacles? Just coming to fellowship, coming to study the Word of God, coming to be together, there is something that many times Satan will use to stumble you and to prevent you and to keep you away. He doesn't want you in the plan of God. He does not want you to experience the power of God. And so he puts these obstacles in the way. And that is the problem of having a lack of humility. It can destroy you personally, but it can be destructive to the plan of God. But second, we're going to look now at the path to humility. What is it that leads to humility? Well, one thing I do know, it does not come naturally. Humility does not come naturally to me. Now, pride does. Pride is so ingrained within our nature. We have to overcome, and we have to. It's just a work that God has to do within us. Now, if I stand up here and I tell you that humility comes very easily to me, and you say, well, it comes easy to you, well, then that's where our problem is. Adam and Eve, they were the perfect creation of God, yet God created them with there was some seed within them that was prone to pride, and we know that because of the account of the first sin. And as you look at that first sin, you quickly see how Satan merely watered the seed of pride. So God has to take each of us. And sometimes he's got to bring us down, and he's got to work on us toward humility. And it's not usually an easy path. That's why this message is called Hard-Earned Humility. It can be a painful journey. Look with me at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. I actually like this, and what I like about it is that Paul's very honest with us. He's very transparent. And I think that in itself was just evidence of the humility that God had worked in him, because typically it is pride that keeps us from exposing ourselves to others. But here is Paul, the Holy Spirit, speaking to him to write these words that forever would be read by the church, and him saying, you know, I have a problem. God had to actually allow Satan to do something in my life, because otherwise I might have been exalted above measure. The Holy Spirit did not lead Paul to expound upon what the thorn in the flesh was, but just a few things we can take a look at. Whatever it may have been, it was likely a physical condition. Satan apparently assaulted Paul physically. Some say it was some form of temptation, and it could have been. Maybe it was both. But I don't think that was the case. Most believe it had something to do with his eyes, and we know that Paul, he had very poor vision, and he wrote to the Galatians, he said, "See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." But whatever this condition was, it was painful. Here in Texas, I would say we may be the thorn capital of the United States. I don't know. Seems like where we live it is. And if you've ever had a thorn in your foot or a thorn in your finger, you know how debilitating that can be. A thorn in the hand or in the finger, it keeps us from using that finger. We don't want to use it. We don't want to put any pressure on it. It's painful. And you'll notice that Paul said it was a thorn in the flesh. Now, coming from Satan, that is not surprising, because his goal is to debilitate you. He wants to render you useless. And so he will come against you. And he thought he was doing a favor towards, you know, all of evil by debilitating Paul. And he had no idea that what he was doing was simply accomplishing the purposes of God, whereby Paul would be even more powerful in the Spirit of God. Whatever the condition may have been, Satan meant it for harm, but God used it for good. And it just reminds me of that passage. This Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "All things," and the word is all, "all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes." Do you love the Lord this morning? If you love the Lord, then whatever it is you are going through, the Word of God assures us that even if it has a purpose in bringing about humility, God intends it for good. A second thing that we can assume from the text is that the thorn in the flesh took something away from Paul that he needed. He pleaded with God three times to remove that thorn. It was debilitating. It created a condition of physical weakness. Sometimes God does strip away those things that we depend on for strength. When there are areas of our life where we are self-reliant, where we are depending upon self, God many times will recognize within our life that he's got to take it away. He's got to remove it. And that's a painful process. You believe that you must supply something to accomplish the plan of God. And you know what happens? Many times, God takes it away. Because there is nothing that we can bring to God to help him with his plan except one thing, and that is a surrendered and a humble heart. And that's what he needs. He wants to bring us about to a place of complete dependency on him. And so it is, humility, it can be hard-earned, but it is necessary to the plan of God. James writing, he said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord." And what will he do? He will lift you up. The psalmist wrote, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." Again, "The Lord, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the humble, but the proud he knows from afar off." I'll tell you, that passage alone gets my attention. How many of you want God to know you from a distance, from far away? How many of you want to be in a relationship where there's distance between you? Well, that's what pride does, is it creates distance between God and a human. And so God says, but the humble, he draws near to. And when you find yourself in the middle of some hard-earned humility, the answer, I'll tell you, it's to get to that place of humility as quickly as you can. And finally, let's look together at the power of humility. Verse 9, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Have you ever experienced the power of Christ during a time of personal weakness? Have you ever discovered how it is that God, the Spirit of God, comes upon you and empowers you at a time when you felt like you were either physically or emotionally or in some way you felt weak within yourself? And you begin to wonder, well, God, how am I going to do the things that you've called me to do? How am I even going to minister to my family? How am I going to minister to my friends? And you're in this place of weakness. And Paul writes, he said, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in these infirmities, these weaknesses, these distresses. And he said, the reason is because it's at that time in my life that the power of Christ will rest upon us. Now, in the margin of your Bible next to the word rest, you can write the word tent. In the Greek, it means tent upon. I think this is interesting because Paul, he was a tent maker. That was his occupation. Paul did not depend on the money from the churches. He made tents. Now, we use tents for camping, but in Paul's day, the tent was actually a place to live. And so humility, it may be hard-earned, but it is powerful because it's the power of God actually living within you. And that's the idea here. God wants to live and empower you and to be in you, but the Holy Spirit will not share the heart with pride. He will be there, but not in all of his power. If we insist on going our own way, if we insist upon walking in our own power, the Holy Spirit allows us to do that. And so humility, hard earned. Jesus told Paul, he said, you know, my grace is enough, and that's all you need, Paul, because, you know, strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so sometimes we have to be weakened. And it's the only way that God can fully release his power into our lives. There's a story of G. Campbell Morgan, who was really one of the great preachers from the late 1800s and early 1900s. And he tells this story about a very young pastor who came to their town that had a reputation for his great speaking and preaching skills. His wife was very excited to go hear this young preacher, and so they went to the service. And after the service, as they left the church, his wife just so excited, and she noticed that her husband wasn't saying too much. So she said, you know, isn't he just a great preacher? And G. Campbell Morgan, he responded, he will be. 7 years later, the preacher came back to town and the Campbells went to his service. After the service, his wife was very quiet. She didn't want to say anything. She remembered what she had said, what her husband had said 7 years ago. And G. Campbell Morgan, he was silent for a few minutes as they walked, and then he turned to his wife and he said, now he is a great preacher. God takes us through seasons of weakness and hardship and hurt and pain. It is so that the power of Christ may rest upon each one of us. It is so that the power of God may work in our lives in a full capacity, filling us, empowering us. I know last week Al talked about the Holy Spirit. God does desire to empower every one of us. He wants to fill us with his Spirit. But whatever it is about that keeps the power of God out of our lives and us self-reliant upon ourselves, God has to deal with it. And so Paul gloried in his own weakness because he said, you know, he said, therefore, I actually take pleasure in my infirmities. And I'll tell you, I don't know that maybe the purpose or part of this is that we might realign our thinking about those aspects of our life that are hurtful and that are painful. It may cause us to think differently about our weaknesses. It may cause us to re-examine our infirmities, our physical disabilities, and to discover that through those, many times, it is simply God wanting to use us more, but by His power and not our own. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He goes on to say, and in reproaches. Have you ever been reproached? And in needs. Have you ever been in need? In persecution. Have you ever dealt with persecution because of the kingdom of God? In distresses. And he said, for Christ's sake. In other words, it's not about me. It is about Christ. So we started this message and we looked at humility, and the celebrities gave their idea of what humility was. I personally do not know how to define it with words. I could not give you a definition by word. Maybe you could, but I would find it difficult to tell you what I think humility is. But I can give it to you by example. In one word, Jesus. Jesus was humble in every way. And I want you to think just for a moment, the Son of God, God Himself, coming down and living with us, dwelling with us, being persecuted, being put on a cross, the most humiliating execution at that time. And He did it for us. And He is humility. May God minister to each of you. As you go through these painful circumstances that we all do, and God bless you and just do His work, humble us. To be honest, praying for humility is not something I like to do because I've done it before and I've learned. God has His ways of humbling us. But yet sometimes that's exactly what we need to do. Just say, God, I recognize my pride in this, and I need your humility in Jesus' name.